You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. In addition to Ben Morrison, Kim Holmes joins me. Kimmy, what's going on? How's life?
Pretty darn good. I'm getting over a chest cold and
coronavirus.
No. Hey, the Corona's not selling a lot of beer on TV, is it?
I haven't come to think of it. I haven't seen their commercials in a while.
No, I haven't either.
they make pretty funny commercials. They need to make some kind of funny commercial about that. I don't know how you make that funny though. Now that I think about it, never mind.
That's pretty hard to make funny.
I don't know how
but
you like.
I was just looking at the name of the virus, and I went, "Oh my God, that's the beer."
Yeah.
And then I thought I'd tell you today.
So you're a big time liberal Democrat.
Yes, I am.
Your thoughts on how that whole thing shook out. First of all, I was talking liberal politics with my daughter last night, Catherine.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that Mayor Pete got out?
I thought it was a pretty classy move.
I did. I was surprised
that everybody got out. That's what blew me away. All of them said.
Yeah. Amy Klobuchar was not, you know, pulling the numbers. But, I mean, he had done what? He had arguably won in Iowa. You know, he finished second in Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire.
He didn't. He didn't finish anywhere in Iowa or
no. He won in Iowa.
No, he did not.
Yes,
Buttigieg did.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Buttigieg.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Biden.
No. God, no.
My bad.
Right. So I was surprised that he, you know, that I mean, to me, there was basis for him staying in because. Right. The conventional wisdom was Joe Biden, and he'd screwed it up too bad, and he was done. So I was kind of surprised at that. Was not surprised that Klobuchar dropped out. Were you surprised though? And then look into your crystal ball. Who's going to be the nominee? So were you surprised that Joe Biden, after those two had got out, because there wasn't really anywhere else to go? I guess you could have gone to Mike Bloomberg. But, I mean, come on. He's kind of lame.
He's a Republican, for God's sakes. He's not a Democrat. And I like what Mayor Pete said. Elect a Democrat, not a socialist Democrat. What the fuck does that mean?
you're an old school Democrat, though, right?
Well, I mean, just like old school Republicans. You know, you have conservative ideas, but, you know, you're socially liberal, maybe physically conservative. That's kind of how the Republican Party used to be.
Right.
Now they're just a bunch of right-wing wackos.
No, and the Democrats, not. I don't want the Democrats. Like everybody's saying that the Democrats are the same way. The majority.
Well, not Biden, but Bernie is. Bernie's a left-wing wacko. and he does not want to compromise on a lot of his things. Elizabeth Warren was willing to, but she ran out of money, and the rest of them ran out of money. And then the congressman got up and endorsed, what's his name?
Claiborne.
Claiborne, yeah.
South Carolina.
When he got up and I heard his endorsement speech of Biden, and then the way Biden won South Carolina, and then he won 10 out of 15 states that night, I went, oh, something's going on here. Yeah. And thanks to Congressman Claiborne, he rolled him. He rolled Bernie. And he even beat him in Texas, for gosh sakes.
Where he didn't spend any he beat him in Minnesota and Texas where he didn't spend any money. What about you think that Biden's going to beat Bernie? Do you think that thing's done?
Yeah, I think it's Biden all the way. I think and for the reason that
let me ask you this. Are the people in the Midwest going to vote for Bernie Sanders?
No.
Yeah. You can't win it without the Midwest. You can't win it without.
And that's why I predict Amy Klobuchar as Biden's vice president nomination.
Oh,
because then you've got a woman and you've got on board with Joe. And then he's going to he'll win the presidency.
I don't think he will, but I understand your sentiment.
Well, no, it's not sentiment. It's just.
It is.
Listen,
straight up
this country is sick and tired of the guy that's in there now. Enough already. And the way he's bungled this coronavirus.
What was he supposed to do? I don't want to talk about this because you and I disagree. So I think you're way out in left field. So I wanted to get your opinion about the Democrats. Not interested in your opinion, and I won't give mine relative to the national election while you're on. Let's talk about food. Colleen and I are vegan now. Okay.
Good for you.
We're really not, but we say that to piss Catherine off.
Well, man, Catherine wants her ribeye like you.
Catherine,
in the hell are you going to give up steak, man?
Catherine, well, you know, to me, so the intent is, as Colleen says, Catherine, it's a mindset. Catherine's like, no, it's not a mindset. And I said, look, so Colleen and I are talking. I said, Colleen, look, to me, like if you want to be one of those hardcore like Birkenstock people, right? That hangs out with Yul Gibbons, even though he's dead, then like go ahead. But the object is to be healthier, right? Is the object to be health? You know, to be a nut, you know, all the time. No,
yes.
I mean you can like still have days when you like do have a steak, but like with 80% of your diet, you're trying to be healthier, right? Colin says, "Well, that makes sense to me, Dad." I said, "I know." So anyway. I was making vegetables last night. So it was cauliflower, broccoli. And so I just real quick, you know, Googled, you know, baked vegetables. And so it said take the vegetables and with olive oil, mix it up a little. You could throw some garlic in there, some garlic salt or whatever. And
I just garlic cloves. Or chopped up garlic cloves.
And a little salt and pepper. And mix that concoction up. Put it in the oven covered. And so what I did was I took two pie plates, glass Pyrex pie plates.
Beautiful.
Deep dish, so everybody knows. And I put one over the top of the other. And it said you bake it for 30 minutes with the lid on and then 30 minutes with the lid off. At about 45 minutes, you turn it all so it bakes evenly and kind of crisps everything up. And muy delicioso.
Oh, they're exceptional. Funny you should mention that. Beth, she does vegetables, roasted vegetables. and she does them just like that.
Really?
You know, carrots, celery, onions, zucchini, cauliflower, broccoli. I can't eat too much broccoli.
Why
because
not?
It's because of my heart.
What's it do to your heart?
It thins my blood out.
Oh, it does.
Too much.
I didn't know that.
And I take a blood thinner anyway.
Broccoli does that? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Spinach, any greens. But asparagus is where I say, the heck with it. I eat it anyway. unless I can get white asparagus. And the thing is, if you see purple asparagus,
yeah,
don't be fooled. Because when you cook it, it turns green.
Yes. To me, what I didn't get that I wanted to was I wanted to get a little bit of yellow squash and a little bit of zucchini. And yeah. But the vegetables were delicious. Had that with some salad and a little piece of salmon. And the salmon was, but again, you don't need to eat that much, you know, of the protein, you know, a little bit for the meal, but you don't need to eat that much. And I'll tell you what a great meal.
Healthy. That's fantastic. Way to go, man.
Well, do you have it? And so the reason I bring all my culinary expertise up is, do you have anything else you would recommend? And so then I bought some mushrooms. And I thought, well, I don't know about baked mushrooms. I don't know that I've ever seen that. So I will go ahead and fry the mushrooms. But normally we fry them in butter. Back in the old days, we'd fry them in butter, and then we would go ahead and we would, we'd put Lowry's seasoned salt on them. And so what I did instead of using butter was I used peanut oil, which is healthier than butter.
Better, mucho better.
Right. And let me tell you, they tasted, if nobody would have told me, I would have said they were the same.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. And another vegetable you should try is Brussels sprouts.
I'm not a Brussels sprout guy. I told you, the first time I ever had them.
Different world.
Susie, my daughter-in-law, Susie the foodie, made them, and they were like off the hook. They were delicious, and I never had them. They always looked disgusting to me.
Yes. She sent me pictures of the way she does Brussels sprouts, and she boils them a little bit, and then she sautés them or roasts them, and very muy deliciosos, as you said.
Right. Right.
Very, very, very
so
good.
Do you have anything else you would put on them? Do you have any other ways to cook them that you would recommend?
I would do one of two things. You're correct by putting all your vegetables in a big bowl, adding your seasoning,
right,
tossing it, and then putting it on a sheet pan. And roasting them, covered or non-covered, halfway, and then take the foil off, and then roast them, mix them up, and then roast them some more. The reason I put the parchment paper on the bottom of the pan, because if they get brown or burnt, it's a mother foe to clean a baking sheet that has burnt vegetable on it. You know what I'm saying? And so you want to use the parchment paper, but baking them one way and then mixing them up in the bowl and then sauteing them is another way. And in a big saute pan and then have yourself a piece of fish. That's what I'm having today.
Are you?
My wife made took a piece of parchment paper, and I order fish from Wild Alaskan Seafood.
Hold on, let me ask you this.
Dot
parchment paper.
Yes.
The other thing I found that sometimes, depending on how much olive oil that you use, it will kind of pool up at the bottom of the And I have the same issue relative to asparagus. So is it always better when you're cooking that stuff? Is it always better to use parchment paper on the bottom?
Just to avoid sticking. That you don't have to. If you're butch and you like washing dishes, have at it, baby. But I'm not either. Okay.
So it's not so much absorb any extra oil. It's more to keep it from burning. So you don't have to.
Yeah. Right. And it does pick up a little oil, too. I'll be honest with you. Because it's paper, you know. But you can bake with parchment paper. My wife took some true cod today and got a square of parchment paper. A triangle of parchment paper.
Yeah.
And laid long green onions, just cut the white tip off and laid them on the parchment paper.
Yeah.
Put them on the put the fish on the onions, then took sliced lemons, thinly sliced lemons, laid them on top of the fish, a wee bit of salt for me, and then lots of black pepper. And you can use any herb you want.
All right.
And then she folded it. She lightly rubbed the fish with a little olive oil. Just a little bit, not because a little will go a long way. And then she folded the parchment paper over and crimped all the edges all the way around. Right. So you had a little baking vessel.
Ooh.
And I used to do this at Sanders with fish. Tuna or halibut, and then 350 oven for about 15 to 20 minutes, depending on the thickness of the fish. And then you pull it out of the oven, and you put that fish on a plate, and it's all puffed up. Make sure you tightly seal the parchment paper all the way around, And you've got a really nice dinner. Very good. The lemon juice flavors it, the green onion. And you can, you know,
all right, so
beautiful
fish. Okay, now are there any other vegetables that I might want to investigate? Brussels sprouts to me is a little bit intimidating for me because I don't have those kind of culinary skills. But for your basic, no pun intended, garden variety cook. Any other vegetables? So certainly asparagus, right, is on the list.
Yes, oh, definitely.
Right? Broccoli, zucchini, mushrooms are pretty easy. What else do we find in abundance?
Squash.
Zucchini and squash.
And zucchini, but like you know, you might have a butternut squash that you can, you can, if you're going to roast it, cube it. You don't want big chunks, but you want like maybe inch and a half chunks.
Right. So it would be
beautifully in the oven.
Right. So, but we would bake it the same way, right? We're still going to put it in the
would
essentially lay it out in the Pyrex pan and get it underneath there. Got it.
And if you that's what you want to do. You can even. Do that in a cast iron skillet. If you have a big 12-inch cast iron skillet, you can toss the veggies and then put it in the cast iron and then bake it. And you can pull it out and toss them around easier because it's got a handle on it. And take a spatula and you got to have a mitten, oven mitten. And mix it up and put it back in the oven. And then put a paring knife and insert it into the thickest vegetable. And if it goes in and comes out nice and clean, then they're done.
Got it. That's easy.
Yeah, it is.
Here's an email that says Brussels with bacon, garlic, roasted, then sautéed, and ground pepper.
Hello, that person is in the front row. Bacon with Brussels sprouts is a winner chicken dinner. And I was looking through my book the other day, one of my books, and they took the Brussels sprouts. No, I'm sorry, I mea culpa. I was watching Rachel Ray, and she took raw Brussels sprouts, and she put them in her food processor on the slicing blade, and just put these, you know, you clean the Brussels sprouts, take all the dirty leaves off, and cut the very stem a little bit so you don't get too much of that. And then she puts them in a Cuisinart and shreds them. And then she sauteed them with bacon and olive oil. And, oh, my God. And, you know, like Susie, your daughter-in-law, does, you don't want to over-brown the edges. You don't want to char them too much. But you want a little crispiness.
Yes.
It changes the flavor, and they get sweeter when you do that. And that's that to that. it's pretty cool.
Yeah, Brussels sprouts, man. I'm not a Brussels sprouts guy, but I'll tell you what. I mean, they were great. They were great.
Yes.
The, you know, which tells you, I mean, you can do a lot with, a lot of things that you normally wouldn't do. I mean, and that's one of the things that we talk about is when you'll, right, some of the great dishes start out as things that other people won't eat. So, you know, people that live on the poor side of town can get them for cheap. And
yes, sir.
That's the way that thing works out. And so it's, And so some of these things are not, you know, are not your everyday, you know, things that we would eat. And so I find that really interesting. The now, if in terms of eating healthy, you know, you guys have grown to do that, right?
Yes.
I mean, you used to eat things that tasted really good, and now you've had to change your diet. What do you eat that's really healthy that tastes awesome? Because that's always the challenge, right? The challenge is eating healthy.
Yes.
But I don't want to give up all the things that I love and all the things that taste great.
Well, any vegetables now, just take a walk through the produce department, the grocery store, and like leeks, you know, they look like a green onion on steroids, and they're grown in kind of a sandy soil, so they tend to be kind of dirty, so you've got to really rinse those. Now you can slice them and then boil them and then saute them, or slice them up real fine and bake them. Or you can put them in the oven whole and bake them. That's very good. Fennel is another one of my very favorite dishes that I discovered in Italy. And there's two ways you can eat it. You know, fennel has it's a big bulb with stalks going up like celery.
Yep.
And then they have these little fern things on the end. And you can take those fern things and mix them in with your salad. The beautiful thing that I like of fennel, it has a licorice flavor. And you can take pieces of that. And my friend one time served me, he had a carrots and fennel bulb pieces in a big tray, and some olives and things, and a little dish of extra virgin olive oil. I was at his house in Florence, and you dip the olive oil with the fennel in the olive oil and just chomp away. It's killer good, very healthy for you. And fennel cooked is even better. And you can put fennel in a stew. vegetable stew if you want, with tomatoes, onions, carrots, celery, however you want to do it. You know, then that's a hearty vegetable, and or you can shave it real thin and add it to salads. I mean, like as thin as you can get, you shave fennel. Yeah, and that means like you can, that four-sided grater that you can buy at TJ Maxx, and the one side just cuts slices, and it cuts it real thin. And you can use that, and then you shave down the fennel bulb, and you can either chop that up from there and add those to salads, or saute them. You know, there's lots of options with fennel. So that's a pretty new vegetable that people aren't aware of and or walk by.
You know, I'll tell you what, another one that has grown in popularity that I did not grow up eating is the sweet potato.
Oh, forever good.
Yeah. Actually, I'm looking at a picture right now that has sweet potatoes sliced on it. It has broccoli, broccoli heads, if you will. It has regular potatoes. It has Brussels sprouts. It has red peppers and something else. I don't know what it is, right? And so that's just a vegetable plate right there.
Yeah.
And it looks really good.
Are they raw or cooked?
No, everything's cooked. Everything looks like it's cooked.
The thing is about sweet potatoes is when you do your roasted vegetables, you can slice those also and throw them in, mix them in with the veggies. And you know how sweet potatoes are when they're cooked. It's like eating candy, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
No. And it's the most healthy of all the tubers.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It's the least carbs. It's a natural sugar, very good for you, sweet potatoes. Yeah, that's even for me with my heart, they're recommended. Or you can do it like you do a baked potato and bake them and then slice them open and then load them up like we do with our favorite condiments.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
You can add green onions, a
but
little
you know what?
Green.
You know what people will tell you is they'll say, hey, look, instead of using butter, use a little bit of olive oil, right? Use a little bit of garlic seasoning, and you can get it taste pretty close. It's not going to be your basic, you know, like a vat of sour cream with a chunk of butter thrown into it, baked potato like you used to eat. I'm like, is there something wrong with that? They're like, no.
Sour cream's not so bad if you don't overdo it.
I know, but come on. Who needs a little bit of sour cream?
Well, you know, it's the olive oil in there makes up for it. So you're right.
Well, and, you can approximate the taste.
Garlic powder, you're right there.
And it's like people told me, like, scotch is an acquired taste. Some of this stuff, once you get used to it, right? Well, scotch, but that's what they would say. Oh, yeah, scotch. You got to drink scotch to, you know, like it. I was like, yeah, this stuff sucks, man. I hate it. Like, oh, you got to drink. Hey, the stupidest thing you've ever heard. You got to drink more of it to like it. Yeah, but my mouth's telling me it's like the same reaction my mouth had when I put chewing tobacco into it. My mouth is saying that, yeah, I don't like this. And you're telling me that, you need to do more of it in order for your mouth to like it. Yeah. I don't know. You don't know my mouth, but that's not how my mouth works. They're like, whatever, dude. Okay. Exactly. But I think that a lot of this stuff is like that in terms of, you know, we all grew up eating the things we grew up. And, you know, and again, a baked potato was a vessel, right, for butter and sour cream.
Yes.
Right?
And bacon.
God bless
it. And cheese. And whatever in the hell you can throw in there.
Whatever else you should would fit in that thing, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So now it's like, yeah, you can't really do that anymore. Okay, I got the memo. So I'm supposed to eat a little bit healthier. So how do I do that?
We can
and not lose all the things that I'd love to eat and the taste that have gone with them. And the answer is you got to learn how to substitute some of that stuff that's healthier. And you and again, you can approximate the taste. It ain't going to be the same, right? Not going to be the same.
And you know what, Mac? What? You can choose. You go into the seasoning section of the grocery store. And you have things like sweet paprika, herbs de Provence, all kinds of dry herbs mixed together, Italian seasoning. And you know, when you add some of that, a tablespoon or a teaspoon, depending on how big a batch of veggies you're roasting or sauteing, it changes the whole flavor profile of what you're cooking. And don't be afraid to try new things. It doesn't always have to be garlic salt or garlic powder or onion salt or onion powder. I would prefer you use some kind of salt instead of garlic salt. You have granulated garlic and onion powder. And things like that.
So what you're telling everybody is to explore the seasoning section of your grocery store?
Please. Yes. Yes. You will be amazed at the things. And you know how they have those little packets in the grocery store hanging in the refrigerated with the vegetables fresh basil,
right?
Tarragon, right. Oregano.
Right.
All kinds of herbs.
Yes.
And try the fresh stuff in salads. It makes a whole different, more vibrant flavor. And you think, God, that tarragon is so good. What the hell is this? and fresh basil. Oh my goodness gracious! You know how much basil I used to use. I'd make my own pesto for Sanders.
Now, what is pesto? What is pesto? I see that. I don't really understand what it is. I know it's green,
okay.
But what the hell is it?
In Italian, pesto means paste.
Okay.
But in this, when you hear pesto, you're talking about basil, garlic, salt, olive oil, and pine nuts, and Parmesan cheese.
Oh.
Okay? Now, here's what I do when the basil is fresh. I had a truck farmer that would bring me 4 totes of 10 pounds each of fresh basil leaves that he would wash and pick down to the stem. And so I would just have the leaves. And he'd bring me in 2 a week for a 2-week period when it was running, or maybe 1, 2, and 1, depending on, because when you pick basil, it grows right back. So you can get a few crops out of a basil bush. Now, I would take my food processor. I'd have a gallon of olive oil, a big container of salt, and I would buy garlic peeled whole. And I would pack the basil in the Cuisinart. I would pour olive oil around about a half a cup, throw half a dozen or so cloves of garlic and a teaspoon of salt. And then I would pulse it. Okay. And then until it gets into kind of like a puree.
All right.
And then I'd scrape it into a bowl. And then I repeat this until I got a tote done.
Okay.
And then I would take 1 pound freezer bags.
Okay.
And fill them up, Ziplocs.
Got it.
And then put them in the fridge, refrigerate them, and then freeze them. And I would have basil until March, usually. February or March when I did basil. Now, to make the pesto, like I just described, you do not – some people will throw the pine nuts and the Parmesan cheese and the whole thing, and it turns it kind of white and kind of gooey. And Parmesan cheese, you do not freeze in this context. You just don't. Now, what I do is when I want to – I pull out my garlic, salt, basil olive oil mixture. I thaw it in a bowl in the refrigerator, and then I fold in pine nuts, toasted pine nuts. You can buy raw pine nuts, and then you put them on a cookie sheet about 325, and you can toast them. But you have to pay attention. Don't walk away and play a game of cards. You pay attention. They toast quick.
Got it.
Then you pull them out and you can put them in a plastic container with a lid and you can store them for about a week in the fridge.
Okay.
Okay. And then with the Parmesan cheese, you grate it fine in the fine grater in your four-sided grater. When you're making a pasta dish, you've mixed your pine nuts, your Parmesan, and your thawed out pesto together. And then you get your pasta, you drain it, you put it in a saute pan with a little bit of maybe a tablespoon if you're doing it for, say, two or three people. And mix it around and get it all thoroughly mixed in with the pasta, and you toss it. Or if you have a pair of tongs, you make sure it's all mixed up, spatula. And then when you serve it, you put a little dollop, about a teaspoon dollop of the pesto right on top of your pasta. And then you take a little bit of olive oil, or the Italians would take a pat of butter and put it on top of the pasta and then the pesto on top of that butter pat. But you can take olive oil if you're conscious about your waist. Then just a little swirl of olive oil around the whole dish. And that is about as healthy as you can get. And deliciosus. Very, very good. And that's how you make pesto. Now, you can do the same thing and substitute pine nuts. You can substitute it with toasted walnuts or toasted pecans, you know, that have been chopped up and everything. And you can still use the basil, the garlic, and that mixture. It's your imagination that will allow you to do whatever you want to do with pesto. But that's the basic Italian version, and it was invented in Genoa, Italy. That's along the Mediterranean and the top of Italy.
All right, here's an email question for you. Hey, Mac, one of the things I like to do when I'm trying to eat healthy is I try to eat a bit of rice. Is there a good way to prepare white rice? Is there a good way to prepare brown rice, which is what I eat mostly? So let's start off with white rice, because that's what the majority of people eat.
Yes, my wife loves white rice, so do I, but I have a tendency to eat wild rice, which is indigenous to this part of the world, and it's affordable. And that's the best for my health, is wild rice.
All right.
But anyway, here's a way to fix white rice that my wife does. She'll take carrots, onions, celery. She'll dice them up, about quarter-inch dice. She'll saute them with a little olive oil. And then she'll kind of set them aside. And then she makes the white rice, but she makes it with chicken stock.
Oh.
Okay. You can use beef stock or chicken stock. I prefer chicken stock. And that really changes the flavor profile tremendously.
So instead of a cup of water,
you use a cup of, if it's say you, it's 2 cups of chicken stock to a cup of white rice. I think it's 2.5 to 1 is how the ratio goes of liquid to rice in just about anything you do. And if you use substitute chicken stock, and it'll blow your mind. And you don't have to make your own chicken stock. They have low sodium chicken stock in the grocery store on the shelf.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And that's the biggest thing you want to do. And you'll never use water again when you're cooking your rice, regardless of whether it's brown rice or white rice or wild rice. But you know, you cook it covered, and then when it's done and ready to take off, you take those vegetables that have been cooked about 3/4 of the way. They're still a little bit al dente. And then you mix them in with the rice, put the lid on, set it aside for 30 minutes. Let the rice finish cooking.
Okay.
And you'll be a champion.
So after it's done cooking, so you boil it for what, 45 minutes?
It depends on the rice. Like Uncle Ben's, I think, is 20 minutes.
Okay.
20 minutes and 20 minutes with the lid on.
So you
And no peak. It's a no peak deal.
So you boil it for 20 minutes. My mom makes that rice she makes with consomme soup and butter.
There you go.
You boil it for only, you know, maybe a minute or two, and then it simmers for 45, 44.
Okay. And each box of rice will have instructions.
Right.
Just remember, whether you use a bouillon or a chicken stock, it'll change the flavor profile, and that's how you'll eat rice from now on. But if you can find wild rice, the key to wild rice is rinsing it the day before, half a dozen times, because they're pretty dirty.
Yeah,
I buy the
wild rice. Wild rice is too butch for me, man. You got to be like out there to eat wild rice. So who rinses? Yeah. Okay. Who would rinse rice 6 times and eat it?
Kim Holmes.
Okay.
And Beth Holmes. It depends. It depends. Some of the rice you get in the grocery store won't be that. That's parched. They kind of roast it,
right?
And it's kind of black looking.
Yeah,
and they're not as dirty as the paddy rice I get, which they the canoe rice. You know, they go through these fields in the lake and hit the rice, and it falls into the canoe, and then they take it to the shore and empty their canoe and let the sun dry it for 2 days.
Yeah, Kim sent me a bag of that. That looks like you got to be straight up butch to eat that.
Oh, you still have it?
I think so, someplace.
Well, the instructions on it doesn't get old.
Right.
Just read the instructions when you have your other vegan mate, Colleen.
What?
Make her do it.
She had a swim meet yesterday.
A little goes a long way.
So with that rice, Yes. Beth cuts up vegetables and throws it in there, and there's your meal?
That's it. Well, I'll usually have a piece of fish. She'll have a hamburger or something. Sometimes she'll have fish with me, but she's or chicken. She loves the rice with chicken breasts.
Okay.
In fact, I'm having some wild rice she did with the vegetables in it. Yeah. For lunch today with some cod.
Cod.
Some Alaskan cod.
Ooh.
That she's cooking in parchment paper.
Ah, we love that. Where do you buy parchment paper?
Grocery store.
Okay. What about, here's another question.
They'll have parchment paper, and it comes in like a roll, like Reynolds aluminum foil.
Right.
But it's parchment paper. And you just tear off a piece, and it's great. And that's, you know, for those who still like bacon, when you put a piece of parchment paper down on your sheet pan and you lay your bacon on top of it, you won't have to, you just have to, wash real good because there'll be grease underneath the parchment paper, but it won't be burnt from the bacon.
Got it. What about, here's an email. Hey, Mac, my favorite kind of rice is fried rice. Is there a healthy way to make that? And a question for the chef. Why does fried rice taste so good? To me, it's so soft, and it kind of is the softest of all the rice that I eat. Why is that?
I don't know. I wish I knew, because I love fried rice. When you get good fried rice in a Chinese restaurant, they take white rice and they saute it, and they add vegetables to it, like green onions, mm-hmm. Water chestnuts, bamboo shoots. Some places will put in chicken or shrimp or barbecue pork, I take my wild rice, and I'll take an egg, and I recommend this for everyone to do this. You take depending on how many people you're cooking for, I usually do about an egg for every two people, and depending on the batch of wild rice, and you whip that egg up in a bowl and really beat the hell out of it. And then when you're just about done serving it, you take that egg and pour it all over the rice, and then keep stirring it in, and it forms little bubbles, you know, little pieces of egg. And that, to me, is what is the crowning glory on wild rice, is that scrambled egg that is added to the, you don't scramble it. You do in the rice.
Right, but it comes out scrambled. There's a place, my favorite Chinese food place is here in Costa Mesa. It's called the Golden Dragon, and my in-laws used to go there. And I will tell you what, their fried rice is to die for. It's to absolutely die for, and it is delicious. In fact, Colleen and I are going to go there now that I think about it tonight. But for $20, for $20 you get, you know, a big box of shrimp fried rice. That'll feed everybody, and it'll feed everybody for a couple of days. And the shrimp is delicious, and the fried rice. And but I am curious, like how do they get it to be so soft? And do they fry the rice, or is the rice already cooked?
Yeah, it's in a wok. They cook it in a wok.
You don't steam it.
Fried, and it's a little crispy, but it's soft in the center.
So they don't boil it. They don't boil it first and then throw it in.
They do.
They do. They do that first.
They take cooked white rice.
Okay.
And then they make their fried rice.
Okay.
Yes.
I was thinking, I'm like, how do they do it if they throw it in like that? How does the rice cook? So. All right.
No. That's I'm not aware of that.
It was a stupid question, but you know me.
It was absolutely not a stupid question, because when I, between restaurants in Washington State, I drove a produce truck, and I delivered to this one Chinese restaurant in Port Angeles, Washington. And they were real nice and friendly. But I have to, I'd go in. They liked me because I rotated the produce.
Oh.
And they always had too much produce. But I'd take the old lettuce out and then put the new lettuce in and then the old lettuce back in front. But they twice fried their chicken wings and stuff. And they had big buckets of this stuff all done. But I tried to look at them cooking on the walk and they'd shoo me away. No, go away. Too busy. Yes, sir. Just looking. I like to cook too. Good for you. Bye-bye.
they weren't giving away the trade secrets, man.
No, they wouldn't want me washing. They didn't want me watching at all. And I did find that there was three bowls, a bowl of salt, a bowl of sugar, and a bowl of MSG. Yeah. Yeah, true. And
oh, funny.
They do a pinch of everything and everything. You know, all three. Boom,
no, but
boom,
it,
boom.
But right, it is amazing, though, how, you know, when you, well, I guess, you know, but it is. It's absolutely delicious. So, I mean, but here's what I think. I think that in defense of, you know, 80% vegan or whatever the hell we are, you can eat a lot healthier than most of us have grown up, especially people, you're in my age, Kim. I mean, we grew up eating, you know, everything that our mothers prepared and we ate the things that have always tasted good to us and they weren't always the healthiest things. And so I don't think you need to eliminate the decadence from your menu completely, but you know, you do, as you get older, you certainly do need to throttle it back. And I mean, so, and then, you know, for my daughters, they both learned to eat healthier.
Just pace yourself. You there's so much great food.
Oh my God!
That you don't need burgers every day. You don't need meat. There's fish. There's chicken, turkey, all kinds of protein like that that are very healthy for you. And I just got a load of fish in from Alaska, and I got shrimp. And in fact, I made shrimp cocktail for you last week. I'm sorry you weren't here to eat it.
Yeah, me too.
It was so goddamn good. and then I bought some sockeye salmon, Lynn cod, true cod, and black cod. I like the white cods.
I had the best piece of salmon last night. And you know where I got it?
Where?
Target.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I went there because I had to get, you know, something for the dogs. I had to get some lotion. So I'm like, I'll just go by Target. And so I grabbed this piece. I grabbed two pieces of salmon because Catherine and Susan were coming over. And so I was like, I took the first bite and I was like, oh, my God, this is delicious. And I'll tell you what. All I do with the salmon is, you know, I, you know, coat it in the olive oil, and then I put Montreal steak seasoning on it.
Yep, good call.
Steak seasoning, not anything that's new. No. But let me tell you, it was delicious. It was delicious. And then I have this thing that somebody served me once, and I loved it. It's called Mr. Yoshida's, and it's kind of it's an Asian, I want to say sweet and sour sauce, and I love it.
Yeah.
And so I
saw that in the grocery store. I did.
And so
Mr. Somebody's.
Yeah. Mr. Yoshida's. And so it is, so I get a little sauce bowl and then I'll on occasion, you know, but again, it was those vegetables and a piece of salmon, so pretty healthy. Here's one thing I'm surprised about is that when you eat like that, you'll lose weight and you're not even trying. It's just simply by right the what instead of putting high, you know, dense food, high calorie food in your body, you're putting in dense food, low calorie.
And, that's right.
And it's been kind of interesting to me losing weight and still eating lots and not feeling like you're starving yourself.
Well, it is fun. And Beth and I sure have a good time fixing our dinners and planning our menus she bought this roast that she put in the oven today that we'll have tomorrow and Sunday. And she's got onions, shallots, carrots, and this roast. We didn't put any potatoes in this time. But, you know, it's fun to do that. I'm not having anything. She's having I don't know what she's having today, but I'm having that trucot.
Ah.
And parchment paper.
Right.
And wild rice.
Here's a final question. Here's a final question for you.
Yes, love it.
Hey, Mac, I don't like broccoli very much. Cauliflower is much better to me. Can Kim suggest a good way to spice and cook? Thank you. Dave in Vacaville, California.
Oh, Dave. Hey, baby. Hey, Vacaville. I think of the onion smell every time.
That's gone.
I know it is. You told me that last year.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
I don't really know. Anyway, he could be lying, but
cauliflower is something that you can cut in. You can bake it. The recipe I'm going to give you is a lot of fun to do for more than one people. Say you're having folks over for dinner. Everybody knows how to make a bechamel sauce. We've taught you how to do this. That's milk and flour mixed, and you make a roux. You actually butter and flour, make a roux, and then add milk and make a little thin, not a thick sauce, a thin sauce. But you take your cauliflower head and you take some chicken stock. And you steam the whole head of cauliflower in the chicken stock, lid on. And when it's just about done, your knife goes in pretty smooth, but there's still a little resistance in the center. You pull it out. And then you take that, you made your bechamel sauce, and you take the chicken stock, and you pour it into the bechamel sauce and thin it down. So it'll coat the whole cauliflower head and not run off. It sticks to the head. So, and then you put it in a baking dish. You put the cauliflower head. You pour the sauce all over the head. Let it run and drip around. And then you take breadcrumbs mixed with Parmesan cheese and sprinkle all over the top, and take some paprika and put on top of that, put it in the oven and bake it at 350 for probably 10-15 minutes until the breadcrumbs and cheese form a golden brown crust on top. And I can eat that just as a meal in itself. But that's a great way to do cauliflower. Probably you'll be a star at the dinner table.
Give me an update on the hockey team. I saw they're not the number one hockey team in the country anymore. Is that true?
That's true. They're number two or three.
What happened?
They swept who did they play last? Oh, Western Michigan. They swept them. Won the Penrose Cup, or as they call it here in Grand Forks, the Penne Rosa Cup. And they finished their home season, 18-1, the most wins for a Sioux team ever. They are number one in the pairwise. They go to Omaha to finish the season. And so they'll be the number one selection in the tournament. And they'll be the number one. They only need to win one game to get the number one selection in the frozen face-off that we used to go to.
Okay. All right, hold on. You're giving me the whole summary of college hockey. I'm looking for what's going on this weekend.
They play in Omaha.
They play in Omaha. All right. And
yeah.
And this is the
last
first
regular season.
Got it. This is the last regular season. All right. There you have it. Your University of North Dakota Fighting Hawks update. There you have it. Courtesy of Pete Kimball Holmes. Sponsored by nobody. I also had a question during the week. Hey, if you think about it, would you mind asking Kim when the restaurant that he's working on is forecasted to open?
Well, that's a great question. I'm hoping by July 1st, but they're going to try sometime in June.
Okay.
To have it open.
So look, but, look this summer.
What?
Look this summer, definitely.
Yes. Oh, for sure. This summer. God, it better be by July 1st.
Okay.
Yeah, they have to raise the roof up 5 feet, and that's where all the air conditioning, air exchange, all that stuff's going to go.
You got to create that space.
Yes, they do, and the weather is really nice. It'll be in the 30s again today.
Oh.
It was, it was 34 yesterday.
Well, congratulations to you.
We've had 30 all week.
Oh.
Snow's melting. I can actually see my grill completely. It's getting time.
All right, sir. First of all, interesting discussion
Thank
about
you very much.
About eating healthier a bit and all your stuff. So thank you very much. And so just will you check with
me?
Well, no. Will you check with Miss B and make sure that it's 2.5 cups of a chicken broth for every cup of rice?
Yeah, it'll say it on whatever box of rice. Uncle Ben's converted
rice. Oh, so
rice.
Whatever it says for water, use that for rice.
Yes, use that with stock. If it says a cup or 2 cups of water, you substitute chicken stock. That's the only thing you do.
Got it. That's easy.
Very easy.
All right, my friend. You have a great day.
You have a wonderful weekend. My love to your family. And go. Go Yankees, go Dodgers.
Go Yankees, go Dodgers. All right, man. Have a good one. Thank you.
You too. All bye-bye. Right.
There you have it. The one and only Almarine Radio chef, head chef, P. Kimball Holmes. Interesting first hour. And I'll tell you what you're going to hear. In the first hour, I saw some stuff that kind of, whenever I see stuff that is a little bit different, it always catches my eye. So, Brian Williams and his colossal math there to me is hilarious. So you're going to hear about that. You're going to hear me talk about if I was a liberal or a conservative, the way I would unleash the American economy to finance whatever I wanted to. But it's the economy, stupid. It's knocking down barriers around the world so that American producers that create American jobs can sell things so the American dream can be available to everybody. That's how it works when the economy works. So I don't know. I don't want you to, you don't necessarily, for me, have to be the valedictorian. But I need you to make the economy go. And that's how everything else works. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Karl Rove had some interesting observations in places like Texas and Tennessee, where, if you can imagine this, Republican turnout exceeded Democratic turnout in a very hotly contested primary season, which is crazy to me. And then we'll talk about on active duty and in veterans, more and more have thought about suicide. Why is that? And I give you reasons for both populations, in my opinion. So you'll hear that in hour one. So don't touch that dial. More of this fine program coming at you here on a Friday. Have a great weekend. Alex Hollings joins us on Monday. In addition, you're going to hear about, I don't want to call it a retreat, but it's one of a weekend veteran event. And James Moran, he runs a program called Bar X. You'll hear from him next week. So I'm excited for you to hear from him. And we might even catch up with James Ferguson, who runs the Warrior Reunion Foundation. So these are things that, you know, veterans, you know, ought to really take a look at, because they bring people together and it's so healing. And hopefully we'll combine post-traumatic winning with that. So pretty exciting stuff. So, on a Friday, have a great weekend. Don't be afraid to go change somebody's life. Don't be afraid to go change somebody's life. And all you have to do is say, hey, can I talk to you? And then talk to them about post-traumatic winning. So, on this Friday, the 6th day of March, the year is 2020. Have a great one. All Marine Radio, out.